Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Something so true is what I get from you. And I hope that you'll see you get the best of me. Something so true is what I get from you.
Well, that's a little number called So True by the Black Seeds, of course, out of Wellington. And So True is what we sort of say when we're talking about Ross Taylor and his career. It was absolutely fantastic. He has played cricket pretty much every part of the world, which is one of the reasons I really like to talk to Ross this morning, is because he's played and experienced cricket conditions in the United States. And, of course, he has also done that through the Caribbean League and tours by New Zealand to the Caribbean as well. And that's coming up. It's just over 3.5 weeks away, the T20 World Cups, and squads are being announced and finalised on a daily basis. Ross Taylor, good morning to you. Thanks for your time, mate.
Morning, Smithy.
What did you make of New Zealand squad?
Yeah, I think it was pretty expected. I think with the only two changes from the semi-final loss, Manan Gupta not being there, Milne and Rachin Ravindra and Matt Henry coming in. So obviously Rachin's had a lot of success over the last six or 12 months, and Matt Henry has worked his way in there. I think we always see him as a white ball bowler, but just probably more traditionally in the one day game and his series. You know, the way he bowled in that Australian series, it just shows you what type of cricketer he is, and is probably not going to be in the starting lineup, but we'll bring some experience and some backup to Trent Bolton and Tim Sowen.
Of the squads you've seen named, and they're pretty much all finalised now, who are your preferred options? If you look at the draw and you see that India and Pakistan predominantly playing all their games on United States soil, which not a lot of us know a lot about, Australia, England, more so, and the West Indies, of course, based in the Caribbean. Does it favour either group?
No, I think it's still a pretty open World Cup. I'm fortunate enough to be part of the MLC last year and was pleasantly surprised at how the wickets in America played. Dallas and Morrisville. Morrisville is not at one of the venues, but the unknown quantity that is going to be New York. I mean, literally they've just made a stadium at a park and shipped drop-in wickets from Adelaide. So last year, the Australian groundsmen were from Adelaide, so they'll know the conditions well, and the wickets were good, so I'm expecting them to be good. But the Caribbean will be a different beast. I think every time you play CPL, the wickets do get tired. They start off well and start to deteriorate, and spinners come into it. So will spin play a part in America? I'm not sure, but I think spin will play a definite part in the Caribbean.
Which worries me just a little bit because whilst I'm not decrying the ability of our spinners, we're not playing a specialist wicketkeeper, and I look at all these sides come out on a daily basis and they've pretty much got a guy who's capable of keeping in a test match. You wouldn't say that about Devin Conway or perhaps Finn Allen.
Yeah, and I think, they're better than a part-time wicketkeeper, but probably have to agree with you. I guess the concern with Devin Conway is his thumb and how much keeping he's had. Obviously, he hasn't played IPL. Going in there with a bit of an injury cloud, but I think, knowing this New Zealand team, I think they would want Devin to keep ahead of Finn Allen. So, how restricted, how much is that thumb going to play a part in his build-up, and as you said, keeping up to the stumps to Sodhi, Satna, Bracewell. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and that's what worries me, because it opens them to injury, which affects, seriously, affects the batting side of things. And if you look at his injuries, they've been hand injuries, Devin Conway, mostly.
Yeah, I mean, the hand injury that forced him out when he punched the bat in the semi-final. Some, I guess you don't want to, probably the one who's got the most experience but doesn't like keeping is Glenn Phillips. He's a very good keeper, but has turned himself into a very, very good off-spinner. So I don't think they'll go down that line. But, yeah, I mean, obviously they've thought about this and the way they've gone about their selection. You know, Caribbean and the 2020 World Cup is, once again, not quite as easy as flying someone over in a specialist role. But it was interesting, you know, how close someone like a Seifert or a Blundell did come to making that squad.
Yeah, it was interesting. Actually, they used both of them on the tour of Pakistan without picking either of them, which I found interesting. But however, we'll move on from that subject. I want to touch in a little bit more on the IPL, but is it a concern, Ross? I mean, you know, you're a cricketer. I mean, you wanted to play, but there's not a lot of New Zealanders in IPL action to the extent that I would imagine we would want them going into a World Cup.
It's probably a bob each way, I think, in terms of you want them there and playing and scoring runs. But they're not. They're getting the experience. They definitely won't be... They'll be fresh coming into the World Cup, which I think is a positive. But, yeah, I think you would definitely rather them be playing. And you know, cricket's a hard enough game when you're missing out two or three games. But when you're sitting on the sideline for 14 games, and in some cases... players aren't even a looking. Can be tough, and can be tough mentally. But I guess that's where the warm up games. New Zealand has a pretty settled, 12, 13 players. So I think there's a lot of players that know they won't be playing IPL games. Know that they'll be starting for this New Zealand team.
Corey Anderson picked for the United States team, which is not a surprise because that's where he's making his life these days. Have you touched base with Corey Anderson? I mean, is he the same force as a cricketer coming out of American competitions? And what is it like over there below the level that you are coaching at? What does cricket look like in America?
Yes, I'm in Houston at the moment. They have minor leagues. Corey's team in Dallas won their minor league competition. Even when I played with him in the Black Caps, he's never the easiest to get hold of. But no, he's enjoying his life in Dallas in the US. I think I'm a bit surprised it's taken this long for him to come into the US setup. He has been available for a bit longer, but his experience, he was one of the leading batsmen in the MLC competition last year, which saw him get picked up in the UAE IL 2020 and obviously played in the Big Bash for Tasmania for the Hobart Hurricanes. So he's still a force. He's probably, I think, his biggest asset obviously is his power and his experience, but I think at this level and in that US team, I think just having someone of his calibre and experience, and if anything, he probably bowled even better in the BBL and the Big Bash this year. So, I think anyone to have someone who's played international cricket at a high level for one of these minor associations, minor countries, I should say, I think it's going to be fantastic for USA cricket, but just give them that little bit more stability than they probably have in the past.
So, Ross, you're on the ground in the United States as we speak. I just wonder if you're sensing a flavour for the World Cup. I mean, it's pretty competitive time. MLB's on, the NBA playoffs, etc. I just wonder, has it got a presence? Is it noticeable?
Yeah, I was in Seattle on the weekend and we had a World Cup there. We had 2,000 or 3,000 people turn up to different events, predominantly of some continent. There's a big presence of Indians in the US, 25 million, and obviously they love their cricket. In terms of breaking into the mainstream of USA sport, I think is a few years away. But I think in terms of the the Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and Indian population. There is a big push for cricket here, and I think in terms of crowds, I think people will be pleasantly surprised. They had the ballot for the Pakistan India game, and they oversubscribed by 2,000 times. So it's a hot ticket, and I'm sure when that game is on the 9th of June, I think it's going to be a spectacle and a half, and for that to be in one of the major cities that are not a traditional playing country and city of New York, I think is going to be good for world cricket.
It's pretty hard. I was just thinking about the United States team and Corey Anderson, because when you promote a world event, you look to go, particularly if you're looking at promoting the home team, you're looking at superstars. I think the first game of the World Cup is the United States against Canada. I think it's on the 1st of June, and it's in Dallas. It must be pretty hard to promote your local side when, one, they can't win it. Well, it doesn't look like they can win it, put it this way. They can be competitive, I guess, and there's a number of minor countries, as you say, in the tournament. But when you're looking to promote names, looking to put people up there and say, he's ours, it's pretty hard.
Yeah, I guess it's a little bit above my pay grade, but yes, I'm guessing it is. But they are using a lot
that.
Of Caribbean.
I don't know about Ross. I don't know about pay grades, Ross. Let's be honest here. We're talking to people around New Zealand here, and we're trying to talk the truth, Ross. If we want to talk pay grades, that's a different subject when it comes to Ross Taylor.
And you too, Ian Smith. You can earn a bob or two. Don't worry about that. I suppose you've got Usain Bolt, Chris Gayle. There's a big Caribbean flavour that's coming in to promote the game, and I suppose a lot of these Caribbean artists, athletes, have a big presence in the US. So that's a way of, I guess, getting around that that marketing issue here in the US.
Right, let's look, if we could, Roscoe, at the IPL, if we could. I think we're up to about game 56 now. We've got the KKR at the top, Kolkata Knight Riders. You've involved with two or three of these franchises. What have you made of the action that you've been able to see this year?
Yeah, I mean, the batters have certainly taken the scoring rate to a new level. Scores of 220, 230, were massive scores. I think now, if 220, 230 teams feel comfortable that they can chase them down. I mean, I think it's starting to get a little bit too batter friendly and batter heavy, but I think a little bit of that is probably the impact rule of being able to have bring in an impact player, and just gives the batters that extra bit of freedom. Even if they do lose early wickets, these teams still back themselves to get over 200 and 200 consistently. Obviously Trent Bolt has been in fantastic form for Rajasthan, but there hasn't been many other Kiwis apart from him and Daryl Mitchell that have been in there consistently. And then Daryl, he's got a lot of starts, but hasn't been able to consistently go on and get those big scores. But I think KKR, Kolkata Knight Riders, and Rajasthan are probably going to make it, and we'll just have to wait and see. There's probably five or six teams vying for those last two spots for the playoffs.
What's it always been about Chennai and their record? I mean, people spend so much money on this competition. The auctions for players are highly profiled events. I just wonder why, through the end of it and all the trading and et cetera that goes on, Chennai Super Kings always find themselves there at the business end. What is it about them?
I think if you go through their first year, they had Kepler Vessels as their coach, and then Stephen Fleming's been their coach ever since. I think that continuity of Stephen Fleming and MS Dhoni, I think you can't underestimate how much that plays a part. Something about the Chennai team, they've always had very good local players. They pick well, they scout well, and they don't necessarily really spend the most money on international players, but they seem to get the best out of them. And and the formula they use is consistent. I mean, they spend a lot of money on Daryl Mitchell, but you know, picking up a player of the caliber of Ratchin Arunja for, you know, 200,000 or 300,000. Devin Conway was the second leading run scorer last year. Players who, you know, aren't going for the $3-4 million like Cumming and Stark, by having a big and an even bigger impact on the tournament.
So what's your program now? And you know, as I said, 3.5 weeks out from the World Cup, you've been known to be in an ambassadorial role. Is that basically what you're doing now as a promotion?
This is more for Seattle Walkers, our MLC team. We've majority of our local players live here in Houston, so we're running a camp for 3 or 4 days here. Head back to Seattle tomorrow night. Got a bit of PR stuff and got a meeting with the Seattle Mariners batting coach. So just to talk a bit of baseball and talk a bit about cricket. Back home for a few weeks, and then yes, back to the US for the ICC World Cup in an ambassador role, and then with the AUKUS for MLC, which is a week after the World Cup. So a bit of time in the States, which is not a bad place to be.
No, it's not. I'm not, and I'm just talking about high-profile players here, marquee players. How lucrative is it? I mean, you know, I go back to the days when they launched football with the Major League Soccer, and they got the high-profile guys involved in there, and they made massive payments to these guys. How lucrative is it to think someone like a Coley could end his career in the United States?
Well, I think it's Coley, unfortunately. BCCI has a rule where once you finish playing IPL, you have a 3-year stand down. So I think that probably puts Coley out and coming over here. But there's a probably not talking the numbers that football and some of these other leagues have started. But the top player at MLC can get, you know, probably 170 to 180,000 US dollars for five to seven games, which, I mean, if you put it on a per-game basis, you're not talking the sums of money that IPL put out there, but definitely up there with the highest paid per game of any other tournament other than IPL. So, you know, it's still in its infancy over here, and I'm sure as the game grows and gets bigger that the sums of money that players are paid and trying to attract you know, will increase, and I'm sure, you know, if BCCI does change the rules, that you know, someone like a Dhoni or a Coley or Rohit, you know, can finish their career in the US and promote the game, like a Beckham or a Messi, I'm sure the sums of money would be pretty significant.
See, the Indians are a bit worried, Ross. At the announcement of the team, somebody asked the coach about whether or not Virat Kohli was in good enough form to go to the World Cup, because he was only getting a strike rate of 145 during this IPL season and had only scored just 500.
Oh, I mean, there's always people who like to make statements around their big superstars. I don't think there's ever been a problem, you know, with Kohli and scoring runs, you know, scoring at a strike rate of 145. If you're getting 50 each time, there's no discussion, really.
None. And we just had a text through from Sean as well, asking about Fraser McGirt. If the Aussies don't want him, we'll have him. Were you surprised he didn't get picked?
Oh, I think that would we take him? 100%. I had the pleasure of working with him at Dubai Capitals this year, and he's a confident kid. And going to be a world superstar, or probably already is. But this Australian team has shown how, you know, they've been loyal and stayed with the status quo in terms of once this World Cup finishes, or if there is an injury, Fraser McGurk straight in there. He's going to be a superstar of this game. The fearlessness, I mean, anyone who gives themselves the nickname Rooster is a pretty confident person. So he's a confident kid, but he's a good kid. He, you know, still asking questions and learning, and even his innings today was amazing. You know, 50 off 17 balls, and smacking, you know, a fast bowler from India, and Trent bowled all over the park. There's no mean thing.
I just can't believe you'd have anything common with Jake Fraser-McGurk. I mean, here's a guy that's making lots of money out of slogging the ball over deep mid-wicket. I mean, what have you got to talk about with him?
Well, he hits, didn't you see his innings this morning? He hit a lot more over the offside than I ever did. He gets 360. But he nearly killed me in the nets. So I tend to not throw it up to him as much, because he does smack it. So, he's going to be a superstar if he isn't already.
Ross Taylor, always great to catch up with you. And boy, you're a globetrotter these days. Fantastic to hear that you're in Houston. And hopefully look forward to catching up with you in 3.5 weeks at a game near you at some point. So cheers, man. Thank you. Travel safe, and we'll see you soon.
I appreciate it.